Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in and joining us today. And we've got our brother Britt Gillette back with us today. I want to send you right to the best site to get all of his information, videos, articles at brittgillette.substack.com. You can also, of course, find his End Times Bible Prophecy page on YouTube, and that is ETBP with Britt Gillette. There you go. Man, Jeff's right on. You're just always on it, Jeff. I can't stump you ever. Brother, thank you so much for being back on the podcast with us.
Oh, it's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you put out some amazing information, very informative, very concerning. And a lot of times I just watch it and my jaw drops. Other times my head spins, because when you talk about finances from either a national or a global, or then even a personal perspective, and what, like one of your videos, should Christians buy gold? You know, what's going on with the banking system? So much information to keep up with. That's why I can just ask you and help us to understand. We're going to get to the Trump tariffs, but you just did a Q&A, Britt, and you had a lot of people ask you questions. What, in your estimation or in your experience, are people most concerned about or interested in when it comes to what you cover?
Sure. Right now, what people are mostly asking about seems to be a lot of prepping topics around, should I buy gold? Should I buy silver? How should I prepare for whatever may come our way, especially a bank holiday, which is something that we talked about in the past. I've been talking about for about 2 years now. I think at some point we're going to see that as a result of the global financial system essentially failing and having to reset. As we're at the end of the useful life of the current monetary system we've essentially been on since 1971, when Nixon severed the dollar's convertibility into gold. And so we're getting to the end of this. This is why we see BRICS cropping up. We see a lot of countries trying to move away from the dollar, or central banks buying gold versus holding U.S. treasuries as their reserve asset of choice, which they've done in the past. So a lot of the questions I've got stem around what's that going to look like, and how do I personally prepare myself and my family for those things? Because that's not necessarily a tribulation event. So and Jesus said, we'll experience many trials and sorrows in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Our trust should be in the Lord, but Bible also tells us to prepare. Prudent, wise person sees danger coming and takes action, takes precautions, and the foolish person doesn't and suffers the consequences. So I think that's where what people are most focused on right now.
So when you mentioned bank holiday, I know we talked about this on another podcast we did with you. Is that like, I think of It's a Wonderful Life and when there was a run on the bank, is that the kind of thing that happens? Because this is it we're talking about right now. You're talking about a restructuring of a post-World War II global financial and military order. Can you explain a little bit about the bank holiday again to refresh our memories?
Sure. So the last bank holiday we saw in the United States, we've seen them in other parts of the world more recently, but in the United States was back in 1933 during the depths of the Great Depression. And it was to stop runs on the banking system. Just like you said, what we see in It's a Wonderful Life, that was happening all across the country. And so the Roosevelt administration shut down the U.S. banking system, which meant all the banks were closed. You couldn't transact within that banking system. And so that took place over, I believe, a week and a half. And they weren't really sure when they opened back up if it would calm everything down and or if they would have more bank runs and the system would fail. And it seemed to work, seemed to restore confidence. So I think we're likely to see something similar happen as a result of failures within the global financial system, because it's far different today than it was back then, with a huge derivatives complex that even the most brilliant minds in the world can't wrap their minds around. I mean, Warren Buffett himself has said, I can't understand the depth of derivatives within the world. And there's estimated to be $1 to $4 quadrillion worth of derivatives in the world. And so when you have problems like that crop up, then you create something called counterparty risk, which is where institutions are afraid to lend to one another because they don't know if they're going to get paid back. So we saw something similar happen during the great financial crisis when Lehman Brothers failed, and we were on the brink of seeing that shut down until bailouts managed to restore confidence, just as we saw in the Great Depression.
So the last time we had you on, or I think at the end of last year, we talked about the global financial crisis leading to the mark of the beast system, and you picked it up from a perspective of Bible prophecy, biblical prophecy. But you also did a recent video or a program on whether or not the crisis, the epic crisis, is coming next month. So basically, what you're seeing, what you're gathering from all the information you're researching is really we don't know, but things could go south rather quickly at any time. Is that correct?
Sure, that's correct. So that specific video referenced a Wall Street Research firm piece. It was Apollo Global Asset Management. And they're saying that based on supply chain issues as a result of the ongoing trade war, that we would have mass layoffs in the trucking industry and the retail industry by June, unless something dramatically changes soon, because it's not necessarily that we're going to have shortages on a widespread scale, but what isn't on the shelf to be sold can't be sold. And what can't be sold, those stores can't make a profit. And if it's not coming off of the ship to be taken somewhere, well, you don't need the trucks to take it somewhere. And so there's a number of layoffs coming in the near future unless all of this is resolved very quickly. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen. So we'll have to wait and see. But long before we saw any sort of trade war, we've had these problems coming up within the global economy. We have China is locked in a deflationary spiral similar to the Great Depression and has been for several years now. And so they're in a period of deflation. What we're seeing right now with the trade wars makes that worse for them. We're seeing the same thing in the third largest economy in the world, Germany. We're seeing currency crisis problems in the fourth largest economy in Japan. And then the first quarter of this year, we had negative growth, at least as of right now. That's what they've reported. They may revise those numbers later, but right now we have negative growth in the first quarter in the United States, the world's largest economy. So the world economy is in depression right now. And we'll probably see that acknowledged by the mainstream media sometime in the future. Usually it lags by about a year before the data catches up and that makes it out into the public space. But that's where we stand right now.
Well, the media is already stoking quite a bit of fear, or they're trying to, because of the Trump administration policies. So let's talk about the tariffs and how much does, you mentioned China's predicament, I guess, or their position. They're not as strong as I think, obviously, they used to be, but a lot of people understand. How much of this depends on the U.S. dollar and Trump administration tariffs?
Well, so what's happening, what I believe is happening, I believe that the Trump administration is trying to undertake a fundamental reset of the global monetary system. I believe what's taking place is a restructuring of the post-World War II global and financial and military order. So Scott Bessent, who is President Trump's Treasury Secretary, he said on numerous occasions recently, as well as before Trump was elected, if you go back in time a year ago, he was being interviewed and he said, we're going to need a new Bretton Woods agreement. For those that don't know, that was a meeting that took place in 1944 that established the monetary system that in theory we're still on right now, where the US dollar was convertible into gold by other nations and other nations pegged their currencies to the dollar. And that underpinned currencies so that they weren't fiat currencies. They had a value that was related to gold. Well, in 1971, President Nixon ended the convertibility of the dollar into gold by other nations because we were printing a lot of dollars in order to deal with all the social programs of the Great Society, as well as the Vietnam War. And we were seeing that gold leave our shores. And so we were on the verge of running out of the gold. And so that was by executive order. That can be reversed by Trump. But at the time, under that agreement, gold was $35 an ounce. Now it's $3,500 if you try to buy actual physical gold. There are estimates that say that it's anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 for an ounce of gold to account for the number of dollars that are in existence today. And so you could see Trump restore that, reverse that Nixon executive order, revalue gold, put us back on a gold standard, which, you know, would probably cause some, it would cause a lot of discomfort. No matter what happens, we're going to see a lot of economic discomfort. The question is, what happens after that? Do we return to a path of growth? We could, if this is done right, if this is handled right. And I believe this is why Trump's been talking about a golden age. We hear that over and over again. He tweeted out very recently, I believe it was on Easter. In fact, he said that he who has the gold makes the rules. So that's why would he put that tweet out? It seems cryptic, but I think that they've been signaling over and over again that there's a return to a role of some sort for gold in the global monetary system, which up until 1971, it always had been. For much of human history, gold was money. There was, we didn't carry around these pieces of paper with people's pictures on them and say, this is money. We use gold coins back in the days of Solomon, back in the days of Jesus, right up until 100 years ago, people were transacting with gold and silver and copper coins. And then all of a sudden they convinced us, well, these pieces of paper are the money, right? And they've used that to steal from us through inflation and convince people that inflation is just a fact of life. But inflation is a relatively new development in the United States. We really didn't have it for much of U.S. history.
That's an important point. We really didn't have inflation in the early days of America. And that just shows, you know, greed, what greed will do, the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. By the way, when you mentioned whatever he put out about, you know, he who has the most gold, sometimes I think he trolls the media, wants them to focus on something, and then he just goes back to whatever he was doing, him and or whoever's advising the president. But off topic, maybe slightly, what's the deal with Fort Knox? What do you think about that? Will they get in there and find out if we do have gold in abundance, or what do you think about Fort Knox?
Well, if they actually do an audit where we see what's in there, the gold will be in there. Because if they hold an audit not knowing, that's a bad idea. That's not a good idea. If they hold an audit and it's not in there, that's going to destroy the dollar. It's going to destroy the reputation of the United States. Now, we've seen since the November election, massive amounts of physical gold coming into the United States from Switzerland, from London, from around the world, and amounts that we have not seen in recent memory. I mean, just you have to go back decades. So again, that underpins this idea that the Trump administration is going to somehow re-enter gold back into either backing the dollar, backing U.S. Treasury debt. It remains to be seen exactly what they're going to try to undertake, but they're trying to return stability to the dollar. And so we'll see what happens in the months ahead. But
yeah,
I don't think that this is, you know, the media likes to think that Trump is flying by the seat of his pants, but I think this is all part of a plan that they're trying to roll out.
I would tend to agree with that as well, but I'm thankful we have you on. Britt Gillette, friends, you can go follow him on Substack or his YouTube channel. We've got to take a brief pause. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy, a Judeo-Christian online school, is enrolling students for this fall with live anytime and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. So you can visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com, and use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. All right, so back to Britt Gillette. Let's dive in a little bit more now with the Trump tariffs, because the media, of course, not only can they not be trusted, but they put a negative spin on almost anything. And I'm not exaggerating. We did a show last week. We talked about this Media Research Center, a survey that they did of almost 900 newscasts. And out of those newscasts regarding politics or the Trump administration, 93% of them were negative. And so that includes on the Trump tariffs, you know, Elon Musk, Pete Hegseth, everything else. But on the tariffs, negative. So, Britt, we know people are not informed when it comes to this. There is a lot of uncertainty out there. Start with the basics and walk us through this, how these biggest issues right now seem to be what might happen with the tariffs. And a lot of it might depend on what China is going to do or what other nations are going to do. But go ahead and walk us through this, please.
Sure. Well, what we've seen the Trump administration do is just raise tariffs across the board and then say they're going to negotiate individually with different countries and come to new agreements based on what tariffs would exist between those countries, trying to get a more even playing field. But ultimately, the Trump promise is to reshore American manufacturing and bring prosperity back to the middle class. And to do that really requires underpinning the dollar with some sort of solid foundation again, because inflation is what's destroyed the middle class. And this offshoring, outsourcing of U.S. manufacturing, well, all of that is a feature of the current system we're on, this post-1971 dollar standard that we've had since Nixon closed the gold window. That's why I said it's highly likely Trump is moving toward reversing that executive order and re-entering gold back into the U.S. monetary system. That also sets an even playing field when it comes to manufacturing across the globe, because other countries, they can devalue their currencies. They'd be devaluing them to the standard of gold that does not change. however many pieces of paper you print, it doesn't change the amount of gold that the United States has or that exists in the world. And so but to do that means that there are fundamental changes that happen in this post-World War II global economic and military order, because the United States has had benefits from having this monetary system as well. One is we can simply print dollars to buy oil and other resources that we need. That's given us the ability to project military power across the globe. And then that ability to project our military power across the globe is what's underpinned the dollar as a fiat currency, since it's not backed by anything, and given people around the world faith that it's going to retain its value. We're seeing both of those things break down. We're seeing, for instance, we saw this role of the world's reserve currency and the military, the ability to project military power around the globe, that was held in the 19th century by the British Empire. And we heard the sun never sets on the British Empire. They have colonies all over the world. The Royal Navy was considered unmatched by anyone else. They ensured freedom of navigation of the seas in order to facilitate global trade. And as a result, the pound was the world's global reserve currency.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they had all those roles. London was the center of international finance. Following World War I, they lost that role. It moved to the United States. And we see the United States taking on those same roles with the dollar as the world's reserve currency. It's the U.S. Navy projecting power across the globe and creating freedom of navigation to facilitate world trade. Well, we're seeing they have not been able to do that since December 2023 in the Red Sea. We've seen the Houthi rebels have basically a drone warfare, not necessarily the Houthi warfares, but the emergence of drone warfare has made U.S. conventional military capabilities obsolete. And so we had a promise back then, we're going to open up the Red Sea. Operation Prosperity Guardian is what they called it. And here we are to this day, that still has not happened. And so that undermines confidence in the dollar. And then again, that the dollar, we've already had countries moving away from it. And so I think the Trump administration understands all of these things. I think they have the people in place to understand this. The question is, how do we get from where we are now to a better standard, a new system with the United States still at the top? We don't know that that can be done. So we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But I think that's what they're trying to do. Because one way or another, the free market's going to force this to happen. So it might as well be on our terms.
Well, what you said, it may have been in a different video. It makes sense. Based on what you just explained, it makes sense to me. You were talking about the Trump tariffs, and you said it's part of the policy initiative to reshore American manufacturing for both domestic economic reasons as well as national security reasons. When you just talked about the Red Sea, that made a lot more sense to me from a national security standpoint. Is there anything else you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, I would say that's, again, that feeds into it. So if you're going to project military power across the globe and be the world's preeminent military power, you can't be dependent on a foreign adversary for your military supply chain, which right now we are. Without China's manufacturing capability, the U.S. military is in dire straits. And so this is a national security issue. Something like 90% of the antibiotics that we receive in the United States are made in China, a large portion of our medications.
That's scary.
You know, rare earth metals and all sorts of things come from China. And it's not easy to simply move those things here overnight, but you have to start somewhere. And I think that's what the Trump administration is doing.
Oh, my goodness. It's just, there's so many things I want to ask you. Just the medications in China making them. How did we get to trust them so much? And back up that question before that. How did it get to the point where we weren't manufacturing our own, especially products, or not products, but equipment for the military? That's so important. How did we get to this stage? Now we're
I think you already mentioned that. You said the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it's the love of money. It's in pursuit of greater profit margins, corporations have looked for cheaper labor and cheaper ways to manufacture products outside of the United States. And they've been donating to the politicians in Washington, D.C., in order to help facilitate that. And so they've been working together to outsource all of this to enrich themselves. And it's put us in a very precarious situation where we're dependent on antagonistic adversarial nations for some of our most critical supplies.
So in the last 3-4 minutes here, how does this all tie in to the end times and Bible prophecy, or how will this?
Well, unfortunately, I think that we're probably likely to see the greatest financial crisis in history as a result of this monetary reset. I think there's a very low probability that the Trump administration will be able to successfully navigate this reset without that happening. And around the world, whether it happens in the United States immediately or not, around the world, they've already been telling us what their solution is. It's central bank digital currencies. It's tokenized assets, it's digital IDs. We're seeing them roll those out. Some parts of the globe, depending on where you live, they already have those things. But in Europe, for instance, they're telling us in October, so 5 months, there will be a digital euro. And they're already attacking crypto, currencies that could compete with that. There are already restrictions on cash. So there's a move globally by politicians and central bankers to get people into a digital monetary system, a digital monetary fiat system controlled by the central government. That means, as we've seen with the Canadian truckers and a number of other people, that political dissidents could be targeted. People who go against the narrative or go against those in power could have their bank accounts frozen. They could get shut out of the system. And so once we walk into that trap, there's no coming back. And of course, we read about a system just like that in the book of Revelation in chapter 13, verses 16 through 17. We read about the Mark of the Beast system. And while central bank digital currencies and these other digital monetary systems are not in and of themselves the Mark of the Beast system that comes during the tribulation, they're setting the foundation for it, and they create a system that is indistinguishable in capability and function from that Mark of the Beast system. Wow. So that it'll be waiting there when the Antichrist arrives to simply flip a switch and be able to determine who can buy and who can sell.
There it is. We had ended with Revelation 13. That's, and it's going to happen. And one thing we have to remember, God is sovereign over all this. And I think the natural tendency maybe is to be a little fearful, to have some anxiety about the future, especially the unknown. But we have a God who knows the end from the beginning. And on the timeline of eternity, here we are in almost midway through 2025. And so much could happen. But we trust the Lord, and we understand a lot of things are supposed to take place. No matter who's president, no matter who the world leaders are, this is, a lot of this is biblical, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things take place, know I'm near, right at the door. So if anybody listening to this is filled with fear, they're upset about this, filled with anxiety, think of what Jesus said. Jesus told us these signs indicate, because this isn't the only sign. There's numerous other signs we see. The nation of Israel exists again. For 93% of Christian history, there was no nation state of Israel. But we take that for granted because for most of us, it's been here our whole lives. So we see all of these signs that Jesus and the prophets said would mark the end times. And he said, when we see those, he's coming back.
Amen. And that's some of the best news I've heard all day, that reminder. BrittGillette.substack.com. Brother, thank you again for all the hard work and the research you do, and appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Friends, continue to share the podcast. It's getting out there. We cracked the top 50 on one chart. I think it's Apple Podcasts. So we're moving up, Lord willing, little by little. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.